Good afternoon, and thank you very much for the opportunity to share with you some of the innovative work that we're doing in Pittsburgh. I am also a beneficiary of NINR funding with an NRSA, a K01, and an R03, and continue to pursue that source of funding for future work. I'd like to start by acknowledging the source of funding for this particular research project that I'm talking about today. One is the National Science Foundation, and the other is NINR. And I'd like to also acknowledge my collaborators who come from a variety of institutions, the University of Pittsburgh and Carnegie Mellon University, as well as the University of Michigan and Stanford University. What I'd like to do is share with you a model of health-related technologies, talk about technology that might support everyday life for older adults, provide an overview of the NurseBot project, and talk about, very briefly, investigations that we have completed, we have ongoing, and that we are proposing. I don't really need to go into detail with this audience about the fact that there's wide variation in the rate of decline as we age, both across individuals and within individuals, and that change is a real key indicator of altered health in older adults. And this is especially so because of the atypical disease presentation that we often see in older adults. As some of my colleagues say, caring for older adults is messy. We don't have discrete signs and symptoms to guide us. We may be dealing with malaise, fatigue, confusion as just general symptoms. We also know that as people age and have more and more comorbid conditions that they encounter or need to deal with more complex treatment regimens, at least a small proportion of older adults in failing health increasingly use health resources and over time have greater reliance on others, both professionally and personally within their own families and households. So I present to you a model of health-related technologies that some of us came up with. As we thought about health-related technologies, we typically think of technologies in an acute care setting, and we've seen some reference to that earlier today. But in fact, health-related technologies may help us to adapt in a variety of dimensions, including health status, physical function, social interaction, and cognitive function. They also may be used to prevent problems, to help detect them as early as possible, or to deal with them in advanced stages of disease or disorders. And finally, we can think of health-related technologies in terms of where they reside. And in this day and age, we not only have technologies in remote locations like hospitals and outpatient facilities and primary care practices, we also have technologies being developed or in use in people's homes, where they work, carried with them, worn on them, and even work is being done on ingestible technologies. So we really have quite a gamut. Where does it hurt has been the question that has guided so much of our healthcare and our healthcare system for centuries, for sure. And that question has led to a great deal of concentration in the area of addressing health status at the tertiary prevention level in remote locations. The emerging and existing technologies help us ask another question, and that is, how can we help you live your life well? And in that case, we really are looking at technologies that can help along all three of these dimensions. We tend to think of technology as what has been developed since we were born. Somebody said this sometime, and I think it's fairly true. Just ask a 20-year-old about technology, and what will be described is what has been developed in that person's lifetime. And we probably all suffer from that same myth. We are currently in what has been described as the third wave. The first wave in computing was when a computer was the size of a room at the University of Pennsylvania. We moved into the second wave with the advent of the PC, where we now have the luxury of a one-to-one relationship with our computer at 3 in the morning, if we so desire. And the third wave is when computing becomes so pervasive, so ubiquitous, that it just recedes into the background of everyday life, and that's really already happening. There are projects around the country and in other countries that are focusing on developing smart home technology at the University of Toronto, Georgia Tech, MIT, University of Virginia, to name a few. These are primarily projects that are looking at ways of embedding technology within the environment or within devices that are familiar to people within the environment. What I'm talking about today are more systems that are involving mobile robots. And among roboticists, a robot consists of something that can sense or take in information from the environment and process that through a central processing unit, like a computing system, and cause action to be taken, or effectors and actuators to be mobilized. It is typically programmable, and it is typically thought of by most people to be movable, but that's not entirely true. Robotic systems may be embedded and so not mobile at all. You may be familiar with the iBot, which is a new FDA-approved on-the-market wheelchair that involves robotic technology to enable a person who is a wheelchair user to come face-to-face with another person in standing position. It also can go through 8 inches of snow. It is able to navigate very rugged terrain and is just revolutionary in the area of robotic technology for wheelchair users. I had the opportunity to sit in one of these, and it is an amazing experience. You may be familiar with the more common robot, the Roomba, which is a vacuum cleaner available at Radio Shack. Just one example of how robotics is hitting everyday life. And you are probably familiar with the Segway, another robotic device that is not really taken off, but I live in Pittsburgh, so we have lots of hills, and I'm not sure I'd be anxious to traverse those hills on such a device. You've also probably seen the Sony Aibo, which has been used very innovatively by folks at Nancy Edwards at Purdue and folks at the University of Washington with frail elders to see what impact it has on social interaction. Mitsubishi is coming out this month, last month, I believe it was September, with about a $14,000 humanoid robot called Wakamuru. And Sony has its Sony, which has really established itself in the area of consumer robotics, has come out with Curio, about a 2.5-foot-tall robot that can sway, fall down, get itself up, do these kinds of amazing things. So the question is, could robotic devices or systems enable older adults to age in place? The NurseBot project is a collaboration that began about 5 years ago, in which we set out to develop robotic assistive technology, specifically mobile personal robots for older adults. And we have our first prototype. This is actually the third iteration of the first prototype. It's called Pearl, when it has a female voice, or as we lately are calling it, Earl, when the male voice is used. And you'll learn robots are typically named. The second robot is a rollator. I'll talk about a little bit more in a moment. We call it the IMP, for Intelligent Mobility Platform. And the third piece of our project has been the development of reminding software that is more than a systematic alarm clock, but one that is being designed to be able to infer from sense data in the environment that a person has, in fact, performed a desired behavior so as not to nag the person. And I think we'd all agree we don't like to be nagged. When we started out this project, it involved investigators from the University of Pittsburgh and Carnegie Mellon. We had a whole wish list, a laundry list, which continues to be a laundry list and a wish list of potential functions for such a personal mobile robot for an older adult. And as you can imagine with the cognitive and physical and functional disabilities that some older adults have, you can get pretty grand in your ideas. We kept in mind the fact that we were looking to eliminate or ameliorate health problems that interfere with the lives of older adults, and we were looking for something that ultimately would fit seamlessly into everyday life. Just as you use your cell phone, and that's that's helpful to you, it's helpful and you use it because it is useful. We knew that that would be the ultimate goal of this kind of mobile robotic technology. And ultimately, our focus is on truly enhancing quality of life and promoting independence in older adults. The process, as we learned, is quite iterative and it's very resource intensive, and it goes from back and forth through the process of developing an original idea, coming up with a first prototype and later iterations of that, testing it within a laboratory setting, but most importantly, testing it in field studies with older adults themselves. And so we have found ourselves in a collaboration that involves people from many, many different disciplines. And as a nurse on this team, I have to say there are moments when I say, what am I doing here? But in fact, we have a contribution to make, and it's very important to be there to help guide and inform technologists about the kinds of issues that older adults face, just as it's important to have older adults in on that team development too. And so I'd like to share with you a brief video that was developed for us by the National Science Foundation about the project, and it really spells out kind of the promise of the future.
By the year 2005, over 25 million Americans will be 70 or older. Nearly 1 in 10 will have difficulty with even simple tasks of daily life.
My grandmother needed an oxygen bottle, but was too weak to move the oxygen bottle through her apartment. That confined her to one location, the living room. And if she went to the bathroom and would feel there's too little oxygen, she would be frightened to death.
Physical and mental decline make living alone increasingly difficult. Researchers from Carnegie Mellon University, University of Pittsburgh, University of Michigan, Stanford University, and other facilities are working on a new technology to assist seniors. She's 4'6", weighs 200 pounds, and you can see her wheels turning when she thinks. Her name is Pearl, a robotic assistant for the elderly, a nurse bot.
Most older adults would prefer to stay in their own homes amongst their own belongings and people that they know, an environment that they're familiar with. It's quite an enhancement to their quality of lives. And Pearl should be able to extend the period of time which older adults are able to do that.
Science fiction has influenced how we think about robots. We expect intelligent robots, but the reality is very different. Robots today are generally deployed in environments like factories. Tasks may be complex, but they're clearly defined. There's a high degree of certainty, so decision-making is easy. But Pearl works with people, not auto parts.
If you are a robot living with an elderly person, you have no clue how to predict the future. Yet you got to make decisions.
A robotic assistant has to adapt to changing circumstances and requirements. Advanced math and new software are overcoming old obstacles in communication, navigation, and other interactive skills.
I think that one of the fantastic things about Pearl is her sensing technology. So she is able to recognize objects and people in the room and recognize the locations of things and whether they're moving.
The National Science Foundation is funding continuing research to further develop Pearl's capabilities.
There's quite a gap between what Pearl can do and what Pearl could do, and in this project that will span a number of years, the technology will need to improve.
Some of our future work with Pearl will be things like communication, scheduling, medicine management, ambulation, sensing and monitoring.
You should take your multivitamin next.
We have together a great team of nurses, designers, psychologists, computer scientists and roboticists that all work together to build these machines.
Each team looks at the project from a different perspective to address different issues.
A really big question in robotic design is how human-like should a robot be? This robot has a really unique head with interchangeable parts. The head becomes more or less human according to the forehead we put on her, the chin, and the way we move the eyes around and the size of the eyes.
Researchers have discovered that people respond differently to robots based on their human-like qualities, such as appearance, personality, and even emotion.
You having fun today, Pearl? She has a variety of different emotions, you know. You can show whether or not she's feeling a little bit disappointed, angry, scared or surprised. She even gets depressed. How do you feel about doing some more user tests, Pearl? She likes that.
NurseBot will never replace nurses. It is intended to augment nursing practice and to provide support and assistance to individuals in their home.
I'd like you to follow my instructions for some simple exercises.
Clinical care of the older adult and the technological support that can be offered through robotics are very exciting frontiers for healthcare.
We believe that we can really improve the quality of life for these people.
As baby boomers approach their golden years, robots are just coming of age. With help from the NurseBot team, they'll mature gracefully together.
In the interest of time, I'm going to just fly through a few slides to say we have preliminary field testing ongoing right now involving older adults in three different retirement communities, and it's been an extremely interesting experience, and we're just having them respond to some of the guidance features of these two robots. We have currently received notice of funding for an SBIR that would involve developing a robotic module that could be attached to a regular walker to help with wayfinding. We have an R21 in review currently that would increase the walker's capability so that it has balance detection and some power boost and actually invite people to go for a walk and see if it changes their physical activity. And we're looking at ways of making the robots more context aware. I will finish with this slide. It happens that Sebastian Thrun, whom you saw there on the video, is now at Stanford and on Saturday won the DARPA Challenge, the $2 million race through the Mojave Desert. And he is one of our co-investigators and the roboticists who really developed Pearl in the first place. So I thank you.